chapter 5. I'd like to ask you to turn, if you would, just for a moment. Hold your place there. We're coming right back to 1 Peter 5. But if you would, turn to John chapter number 10. We've been studying about why every sheep needs the shepherd. Why every sheep needs the shepherd. And we talked about Jesus as the good shepherd, and our Lord Jesus as the great shepherd, and our Lord Jesus as the chief shepherd. We're going to transition from talking about we as sheep and why we need the shepherd, and we're going to be talking about the shepherd himself over in Psalm 23. Before we do that, I felt led of the Lord this past week to talk a little bit about the enemy. Why do sheep need a shepherd? Well, sheep are kind of wayward animals. They are. Sheep kind of stray. The Bible says that. Right here in Peter, as we shall see in chapter 2, it says, you return unto the bishop of your soul. Sheep have a way of going astray, don't they? All we like sheep have gone astray. They're wayward. They're wayward animals. And they're not very keen on direction. They kind of wonder and get lost. And that's why the shepherd had to leave and bring them in. You know, he left the 99 and brought the one in. They're weak. Sheep are not very strong animals. They need the shepherd to protect them, right? Sheep really do not have very many defensive mechanisms. There's a lot of predators of sheep, and so the shepherd protects the sheep. And when the scripture talks about sheep in the Bible, it's referring to you and I. Now, when it's talking about dogs or when it's talking about hogs, it's not talking about God's people. Sheep, well, they have a shepherd. We need a shepherd. Can I tell you, every human being needs a shepherd. Every one of God's creatures, humanly speaking, every one of God's people, we need the shepherd. But now, not only are they wayward or weak, but you know what? They're very worthy. They're very needful. You know, sheep are of great worth. Pastor BJ was teaching in Sunday school this morning about how that sheep were a way of talking about, you know, if you owned a lot of sheep, it was a way of saying that you were a wealthy person. Sheep have a lot to offer. They have a lot of worth. They offer wool, and they offer milk. They offer things that are of great asset to the public. And so when God provided us with a shepherd, He provided us with His only begotten Son. I want to ask you a question before I get into this. Is Jesus your shepherd? Can you say, the Lord is my shepherd? Personally. Can you go back to a time when you personally asked the Lord to be your shepherd? Your Savior. God, save me. Change my life. You realized you needed the shepherd. You realized you can't go through this life alone. You find yourself in a ditch somewhere. Maybe that's where you found yourself when you cried out to God to make you His shepherd. Right? So, what happens, whether you are a sheep with the shepherd or not, the scripture says this, we have an enemy. And I want you to look at verse number 10. We talked about this in John chapter 10, and I want to talk to you about your enemy. And today I'm not really going to be very, you know, sometimes we can get so concerned about being hermeneutically sound, and we can get caught up in an outline. I don't care if you get my outline or not. I really don't. You know what I want? I want you to get my urgency. We have an enemy. And I think sometimes we as Christians forget how serious this thing is. Our enemy is not an opposing football team trying to keep us out of the end zone. Listen to me now. Our enemy is not an opposing baseball team trying to score more runs than us. Our enemy is a real devil. He's real. So I don't believe he's real. Well, see, he's already got you. He's real. And he is really your enemy. You say, well, I've never done anything to him. It doesn't matter. You see, the enemy's coming after you. Not necessarily because of who you are. Now, please listen to me. But because of whose you are. See, the enemy has no power over God. So what is he going to do? He's already tried that. And he got kicked out of his original abode, which was in heaven. So what has he got left? That which God loves most. And God so loved the world that he paid the ultimate price. He gave his only begotten Son. Jesus came to this world to die for you. You say, well, not for me, preacher. Yes, he did. Jesus would have died on that cross the same cruel death had you been the only one that needed it. Now, you need it whether you were the only one or not. We all need it. And so Satan is coming after God's prized possession, God's crown of creation, mankind. And he cannot get to God, but he can get to that which God loves if it goes unprotected. And so you say, well, I haven't done anything. I have no beef with Satan. Well, he has a beef with you. And he's coming after you. And he has many, many devices. The Bible speaks about the devices. It speaks about the wiles. It speaks about the snares of the devil. And they're very real. And whether we are aware of it, whether we are alert of it or not, it's still going on. We're living in a world that is lying in the lap of wickedness. We're living in a world in which the God of this world is turning up the heat. And I want to warn you this morning. I want to warn you. Listen what Jesus said in John chapter number 10 and verse number 10. We'll go back to verse 9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Aren't you glad for that? I told you when we went through this passage of Scripture, getting saved is just as simple as opening a door and walking through it. Jesus said in another place, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. You say, preacher, how can I be assured that if I open the door, that if I call on Jesus, I'll be saved? How can I know? How can I be sure? Because Jesus said so. He said, if you open the door, I will come in. That's Revelation 3:20. And will sup with him and he with me. And he said, I am the door. By me, if any man shall be saved. You say, well, you don't know what I've done. Doesn't need, listen, God knows what you've done, and he still provided the door there for you. Doesn't matter if the preacher knows what you've done. But God knows what you've done. God knows what I've done. God knows what we've all done. And he still provided his sacrifice, his son, for you and I to be saved. Aren't you glad for that? If any man shall enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now watch this. The thief, and this is what I want to talk. Why do you need a shepherd? Why do I need a shepherd? There's a predator. The thief, not the thieves. The thief. There's not a doubt in my mind this is talking about Satan himself. The thief. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal my virtue. He wants to steal my happiness. He wants to steal anything he can steal from me. And ultimately, he wants to steal my soul. He is after the soul of man because that is the prized possession of man. I'm glad that my soul is safe in Jesus. Now, if you're here and you're not saved, it's not. And he said, the thief cometh not, now watch it, but for to steal. Now, did you get what was just said there? He's coming. He's coming. But it's not for what you think it's for. You say, well, that's going to be a good time. He's not coming for that. Oh, he promises that. You with me? He promises that. It's not all that it appears to be. He promises that. You see, that's the facade. That's how he gets the people. That's how he gets. Listen, can I tell you? The devil has no happy old people. Listen to me. Because he never gives that which is best last. He offers it up front to woo, to wow, to lure, to pull in. And then after you find them out, oftentimes it's too late. Virtue has been stolen. joy has been robbed. And unfortunately for many, souls have been sealed for eternity. And he said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. This is not a game. This is not something that we just waltz through. It's high time that you and I wake up and realize we have an enemy. This is serious business. This thing of a spiritual walk with God is very, very serious. It's time that we as Christians, and I'm warning you now, I'm warning you, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you this morning. As Christians, we need to understand we are in a warfare. This is a battle. We've been called upon to fight the good fight of faith. We've been called upon to suit up in the whole armor of God. And Jesus said, the thief's coming. Look at it one more time and then we'll turn to 1 Peter. The thief cometh. You see that word? Any word you see that ends with a T-H? There's a continuous action. He just keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming. You say, I wish the devil would leave me alone. I wish he'd leave me alone too, but he's not going to. The only time the devil's going to leave us alone is when we exit this old world and go home to be with Jesus, brethren. As long as you have air in your lungs to breathe here on this earth, the devil is just going to keep coming and coming and coming. He's going to come to deceive. He's going to come to beguile. He's going to become, he can even come as a minister of righteousness. As an apostle of righteousness, Paul said. Just keeps coming. And we're letting our guard down. We get lulled and lured to sleep. And we think we're okay. Now I want you to turn back. You say, well, not me, preacher. Yeah, there was a man who said that. I'm going to read you about him. I want to show you something about a man who said that. I'm ready. Well, I'd die before I deny you. Now they might. Pastor David might. Pastor Brandon may. David Thompson may. Devin may. Brother Terry back there may. But Lord, I'd never do it. I'd die first. Does that sound familiar? Now, Simon, Satan hath desired thee that he may sift thee as wheat. He said, but I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. And Jesus told Peter, he said, I tell you right now, he said, all of you, he looked at Peter, I believe, but he said, all of you is going to deny me. He said, you're going to be offended by me. And he said, not me. Now they may, but not me. See, sometimes you think you're ready. Sometimes I think I'm ready. And I'm just warning. God has laid it heavy on my heart. We as Christians need to be warned that the devil has not given up. He hasn't even slacked off. Actually, he's turning up the heat in this day, brethren. We're seeing it all around us. I've been pastor now for 37 years. I've been dealing with families that thought, I'm standing strong, I'm ready. And listen, they became casualties. I've looked families right in the eye and said, you are headed down a wrong path. And they would look back at me and say, we got this, preacher. Shipwrecked. Hey, shipwrecked. It's real. I've looked at young people and said, hey, young man, listen to me. Your preacher loves you, but you're messing up. You're going down a wrong path here. You need to get under the umbrella of the safety of Jesus Christ or you're going to mess your life up. I got this, preacher. I know. I'm ready. Life ruined. Wrecked. Wrecked. Shaking. I've had them in my own family. I've looked them in the face and said, listen, God loves you. I love you. But if you don't change some things, I don't see brightness on the horizon for you. I see dark clouds and storms and I see trouble on the horizon. Wake up! Oh, I got it. I got it. I'm ready. And I've dialed 911 and said, you need to come. He didn't make it. You say, you're trying to scare me. Whatever it takes. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm preaching the Word of God to you. I'm telling you what is so. We have an enemy and he doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about your family. He doesn't care about your virtue. He doesn't care about your plans. He doesn't care how you try, what you're thinking about doing. Listen to me. You say, well, you seem kind of angry. I am. I'm angry that I and other preachers haven't sounded the trumpet and sounded the warning and said, folks, listen, we're in trouble. Our churches are in trouble. You know why our nation's in trouble? Because our churches are in trouble. You know why our churches are in trouble? Because our homes are in trouble. We're in trouble, brethren. We're in trouble. Everybody sitting in this building knows someone that has fallen by the wayside. That at one time loved God, loved righteousness, loved what was right, wanted to do right, did what was right. Shipwreck. It can happen to me. It can happen to you. I don't know too many people that just go running and diving over a cliff. Now listen to me. They're out there. They're out there. But usually what happens is they get closer and closer. And then they get comfortable with being close to the edge. Thinking, oh, I've got this. I've been living on the edge for a while. And very few people jump off. They fall off. That's why the Bible says, if you, listen, you which are spiritual, if you see a man that's been overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one. Overtaken. So what about our enemy? What about this man, Peter? As you're in 1 Peter chapter 5, did you turn back there? Just going to give you a few things that I want to warn you about for the next couple of weeks, okay? So I'm going to lay a foundation here. Now, this is real. Our enemy's real. You say, well, I got him covered, preacher. No, you don't. Only Jesus can take care of this enemy. Please don't you think I've got him covered. You do not have him covered. You do not have him covered. There's a man here by the name of Peter, and he's writing. And if you'll notice in verse number 1, he's kind of looking back. He said, I'm writing to those elders among you. I'm exhorting you. He said, now watch this. He said, I'm also an elder. He said, I'm a witness. I was with him. I was there with him. I walked with him. I was a witness both of the sufferings and of the glory that was revealed in the Lord Jesus. And then he said something that I believe that he heard Jesus say when he was there after Jesus was restoring him back to the ministry. He said, feed the flock of God which is among you. You see what's happening here? Oh, Peter's taking a stroll down memory lane. And he's remembering back when he thought that he had it all down. He's remembering back to when he said, you know what? I appreciate the warning, Lord, but I've got this. Now, don't you be like Peter, and God help me not to be like Peter and think, now, I've got this. I appreciate the warning. I appreciate the passion, preacher. I appreciate your heart. I appreciate you caring. But now, we got this. Listen, I can't tell you how many people have looked me right in my face and said, we've got this, and gone shipwrecked. Crashed into the rocks. Done. You say, will God ever restore them? Listen, God's in the restoring business. I thank God for that. Here's one that was restored. But I believe what Peter's saying is, hey, folks, take it from someone who didn't take it from someone. And it costs me. Now, you know if you're on the edge. You know if you're doing what you ought to do. There's a big difference. You know if you're where you need to be. You know if you're taking steps in the right direction. Don't we, brethren? We don't need a preacher to tell us. Brother Ouellette said, walk in the Spirit, just take the step, make the right choice, one decision at a time. Every decision you make is going to be in the Spirit or in the flesh. Amen. Well, what happened to Peter? Well, I thought he was a good man. I thought he was a strong apostle. He was. I'm going to give you three things. I want you to write them down. Then I'm going to tell you about our enemy and we're going to close. The first thing that Peter done is he said, I've got this. You listening? Jesus in Luke 22, and please don't turn there, but I hope you'll look it up. Luke 22, verse 31 and 32, he said, listen to me, Peter. He said, Satan hath desired to have thee that he may sift you as wheat. He said, but I prayed for you that thy faith fail not. And he said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And Peter said, oh, no. Now, they might be offended, but not me. I'd die first. And if you'll read Mark's version in Mark chapter 14, you know what it says? He got vehement. He got more vehemently, and he said, oh, no. Wait a minute now, Lord. Oh, no. I mean, he got angry about that. He said, I thought you knew better than that about me, Lord. Well, I'd never do anything like that. And maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, preacher, I'd never do this or that. Well, you don't know what you'd never do or not do. Is there anyone here that's never done what they said they'd never do? Is there? It's not a trick question. I'm serious. Every one of us has done something we thought we would never do, whether we said it or not. You see, sin is strong that way. And so the first thing that Peter did is he said, you know what? I've got this. He mistook the fact. He thought he was stronger than he was. And he wouldn't heed to the warning. He received the warning. You know, as I go through the scripture, and I'm not going to go through, when men or women were getting ready to mess up, God sent them a warning. Does this sound familiar to you? Hey, isn't that Uriah the Hittite's wife? Does that sound familiar? Sound like a warning. You're getting ready to mess up here, David. Isn't that Uriah the Hittite's wife? Skipped over it, didn't heed the warning, sword never left his house. Now that's the facts, brethren. Yes, God is gracious. Yes, God is loving. But God is just. God is just. Peter, Satan's coming after you. I've got this, Lord. I've got this. Warming his hands by the fire, using language that he thought he had never used, denying the Lord that he had followed for 3 years. Never thought he'd be in that place. Some of you sitting here probably in a place you never thought you'd been in. If you haven't, if you aren't now, you probably have been. And again, this is a warning. This is a warning. Hey, you can't coast. There's no neutral in the Christian life. You can't let your foot off the accelerator, right? Might have to pump the brakes every now and then, but you can't take your feet off the accelerator. You can't take your hands off the wheel, brother. You've got to, listen, you have to be alert the whole time, which we shall see here in just a moment, what Peter said. He said, be sober. Hey, be vigilant. Be thinking. Be sound-minded. Be on guard. You're in a warfare. So Peter, number one, did you write it down? He didn't take advice. He didn't heed the warning. Number two, he took matters in his own hand. John 18, remember what happened? Here they come to get Jesus. Jesus done told Peter, Satan's coming after you. You know what Peter said? I got this, Lord. Stand back! He took matters in his own hand. He was fighting with the wrong sword. Somebody say amen with me. You ever pulled out your sword instead of his? And said, I've got this. I'm not talking about the sword of the Spirit either. That was definitely the sword of the flesh. That was a step in the flesh. And how often when we get a little pressure put on us or we get ourselves in a little bit of a bind, do we come out swinging in the flesh? We may not be cutting someone's ears off, but we're cutting at their character, or we're saying or doing things we shouldn't say and do. Now, that's the way the devil will get you. When you and I start fighting spiritual battles in the flesh, we lose every time. Every time. Done it. Never won one. Not going to. Number three, the third thing. He wouldn't heed. He wouldn't heed the warning. He took matters into his own hand. And then he wouldn't pray. The Lord said, y'all come with me. We're going to go over here in this garden and we're going to pray. He was sleeping when he should have been praying. He had his eyes closed when they should have been very open. Because there was darkness all around. And he wasn't even aware of what was going on. Jesus was there praying, as it were, sweating great drops of blood. And Peter over there just relaxing, kicked back. Doesn't sound like a sober, vigilant person to me. So now here's that man. You're in 1 Peter. Let's wrap this up. Let me give you some things. I hope you'll write them down. Just going to break some words down for you. What's happening here? Peter's saying, listen, I want to get your attention. I walked with him. I was with him. And he said, I want you to know that the first step, most people when they turn to 1 Peter chapter number 5, they go immediately to verse number 8. And I do want you to look there, but there's seven verses before verse number 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil. That's why. And so this is where a lot of people pick up, right here. But that's not where Peter started. Peter said, hey, I want to give you a warning. I want to warn you, and I want you to heed my warning. Take it from someone who didn't heed a warning. It'll cost you. And right now, the devil's probably told someone, oh, you're fine. You're fine. Well, if you're not where you need to be with God, you're not fine. Not because I said so, but because this book, which is always right, says so. And so I'm warning you. I'm pleading with you. I'll get on my knees. Listen, this is not for me. This is not just so I can spend 35 minutes here today. I'm coming to church where I spend 35 minutes up here preaching. And I love church. I'm coming to church. But God sent me here to warn you today. Amen. All right? I want to feed you. I want to feed you. I want to give you truth. But part of that feeding and part of that truth comes with a warning this morning. And the warning is, be careful. Be humble. Notice what these first seven verses say. It ends in verse 7. Casting all your care upon him. That word is anxiety. Brokenness. Look what he said in verse number 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Learn what it is to submit. Learn what it is to bring yourself under some things. Don't think you know it all. Sometimes we preachers may think we know more than we know. And we need to learn what it is to bring ourselves under. I think Peter's speaking from experience here. He thought he knew himself better than Jesus knew him. Can I tell you, nobody will ever know you the way Jesus knows you. You won't know yourself the way Jesus knows you. And Peter said, now listen to me. There's some people that know some things you don't know. Right? Is that right, brethren? And he said, when God sends someone to you to warn you, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Bring yourself under that warning. Don't lift yourself. Peter said, no, I did that. I got filled with pride and I started saying what I would never do. I would never do that. And then I caught myself doing it. Why? Because I didn't bring myself into subjection. I didn't humble myself. I didn't submit myself. James put it this way, submit yourselves therefore unto God, then resist the devil. Right? Peter's doing the exact same thing here. You be subject. You be subject. If God is gracious enough to send you a clear warning before you take a wrong step, you bring yourself under that and say, thank you, Lord. God, thank you. Man, I almost pulled out in front of all that was coming. What a catastrophe that could have been. Don't put yourself above that. And this is what Peter said. And so he said in verses 1 through 5, he said, listen, bring yourself. Look at verse number 5 after he said, bring yourselves and be ye subject one to another and be clothed with humility. You see what we're getting here? We're getting a lesson on humility, on submissiveness, on being in subjection, on taking warnings, on bringing ourselves and heeding the instruction, the God-given instruction that we're given in life. It's hard for us sometimes. We just think, I've got this. There's just something in us that, you know what? I've got this. I've been doing this. I'm good, preacher. I'm good. I'm okay. Okay, and you may be for the time being, but if God's sending a warning, let the warning lights go off and answer the call. Then he said this. He said, for God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. And then in the very three verses in verse number 9, he says, I want you to resist the devil. So what is he saying? If you don't humble yourself, God will resist you, and you will not be able to resist the devil. That's what he's saying. It's the same word. So if you resist God, you will not resist the devil. You'll yield to him. You'll submit to him. But if you submit to God, now you can resist the devil. Does everyone understand what we just got here? You say, that's elementary. I know. I know that. I told you, I'm not interested in the theological fluff and the hermeneutic. What I'm interested in is truth, warning, warning, warning. Sometimes we think we're good. We think we're okay. We're just kind of going along, just kind of casually driving down life's highway. Then, bam, we're blindsided. Why? Because we were not sober and vigilant. So here's what he said. He said, so before you get concerned about your adversary and being watchful, be humble. Be humble. Are you there? Are you teachable? Are you pliable? Or do you think, well, I know more than most anybody. I'm the smartest person I know. I'm the most spiritual person in the room. I've got this thing. I've been a Christian for so long, I could do it in my sleep. Listen, if that's where you are, and I'm not saying you are, I'm just saying if that's where you are, beware. Beware. Humble yourself. Number two, and this is where we're going to close. Just got 2 points today. Not only be humble, be watchful. Keep your guard up. Don't let your guard down. See, if you're not careful, what'll happen is you'll skip a day reading the Bible and say, well, you know what, I'll get it later. I'm fine. And I want you to listen to me. This is the wiles of the devil. The Bible says we're not ignorant to the devil's devices. I know what's right and wrong. I don't know that it's necessary that I read the Bible every day. In order for me to do right, I think I'll be okay with that one day reading the Bible. But then it'll turn into two. And then three. And before long, you won't even come to Sunday school. Church won't be important to you. Why? Well, if God's word's not important to you, why should church be? And before long, you'll quit giving your tithe. You'll go from a good Bible reading, church attending Christian to a God robber. Just like that. You say, oh, not me, preacher. It's happened to better folks than us. Please don't think it can't happen to you. And then while at times some folks just sit at home during church, won't be long, you'll be going out during church. Whereas folks used to just sit home during the church service, they're now doing other activities during the church service. Some of them are kind of dark. And where you used to remove yourself from off-colored and unclean and unkind things, now you find yourself right in the thick of it. It can happen. It can happen. So it couldn't happen to me, preacher. Well, I don't know. It happened to Peter. And Peter was after souls. Here's a man who dropped his net and said, let's go. Hey, man, let's go. Man said he's going to make fishers of men. Let's go. Let's do this. To warming his hands by the fire. I don't know him. Hey, listen. I said I don't know the man. Is that what happened, brother? Now here he is. He's saying, just humble yourself now and watch out. Keep your guard up. I'm going to give you this and I'll be done. I want you to look at verse 8 and 9. We'll give you some. We're going to come back to this. He said, be sober. You know what that means? It means wake up. Be on guard. It means be under control. Be serious minded. This is not a game. Don't think you can play around with spiritual things and not get burned. Hey, the time has come to where we need to realize that not everything that is spiritual is good. There's some bad spiritual stuff. There's this thing called the occult. You know what the word occult means? Is there anyone here know what the word occult means? Say, I know, I've heard that word, preacher. I sure hope so. America's filling up with the occult. Look the word occult up. It means hidden. H-I-D-D-E-N. Hidden. In the dark. Under the hand. Under the table. The occult. You never see it coming. Not everything's above board. Not everything spiritual is good and light. There's dark spirituality. There's principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness in this world. The Bible says, wake up. This is serious. There's spiritual warfare going on, and you're a part of it. Right? You say, hey, I'm not even a Christian. You're still a part of it. There's a spirit world. And it's coming after us. So he said, be sober. Wake up. Be vigilant. Be aware. Be alert. Be cautious, is what he's saying. Be on guard. Right? Stand around like this. On guard. Amen. That's right. That's right here. Don't pull out the other sword now. This one. On guard. Verse 8. Because your adversary. You know what an adversary is? Anyone? You know what the adversary is? You know what it means? It's a legal term. It's the defense attorney. It's called an adversary. We have an advocate. That's our attorney. But then there's the adversary. Listen to me now. Go home and look the word up. I made up my mind a while back. I'm not going to just read over things. I'm going to look it up. I want to know what it means. I used to think, well, just because I know what it means in a sentence, that'll help me know. I want to know what it means. Not how it's just used in that sentence. I want to know what it means. An adversary is someone who is looking at your lawyer and bringing an accusation against you. Isn't that what the devil is? He is an accuser of the brethren. He is on the opposing side. And he is saying, Dale Freeman does not deserve representation from you. Dale Freeman has always been a loser. He's a loser, and he always will be a loser. He'll fail you time and time and time again. Why would you want to have anything else to do with him? Thank God Jesus steps up and says, because he is mine. I have purchased him. But we have an adversary who is lurking behind every corner to point out every fault, to point out every flaw. You have an adversary. I have an adversary. And Peter said, I know about him. So wake up. Wake up. Be on guard. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, that word means slanderer, as a roaring lion walketh about. What did Jesus say? The thief cometh. You see that word walketh? He never gives up. He's just going to keep walking down my way, looking around, trying to find something day after day after day. And he said, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He said, what can I do, preacher? What can I do? Well, my time is up, but I'm going to give you some things you can do. Look at verse number 9. You're going to have to resist him steadfast in the faith. Look at that next word. You're going to have to know some things. Can I tell you, God's people suffer from ignorance. We think we know so much, but really we know so little when it comes to our enemy. And he said, The only way you can resist this enemy is in the faith, not in the flesh. Say it with me, church. In the faith, not in the flesh. So, well, I'm strong. Doesn't matter in this battle. I'm crafty. Doesn't matter in this battle. Whom resist? You know what the word resist means, right? Do you? You ever seen anybody resist? I tell you right now. What if a group of people, you're walking down the road with your wife, and God forbid anything like this would ever happen, or your children, and a car come by, and a couple of people jump down and try to throw your wife or your children in the vehicle. What kind of resistance would you have going on? I'm going to tell you right now. They'd have to drag me down the road hanging on or something. Amen, church? Are you listening to me? That's what this word means. It's strong. It means put up a fight. Resist. Don't you give in. Don't you quit. Resist. Fight the good fight of faith. Press on. Don't you give up and give in. You resist. They try to grab you. You fight back. Amen. Don't you, listen, don't you succumb to that. You say, well, isn't that the flesh? He said, do it in the faith. Do it the way Jesus did it. I'm going to close here and we'll pick up here next week. But I don't want you to miss this. I'm going to give you two things that Jesus did that he left for an example for me and you. He fought the devil face to face. Face to face. Number one, he fought him in the wilderness. And the devil tempted him. You know what he did? He said, it is written. What do you know about what's written? What do you know about that Bible you hold in your hand? Are you hiding it in your heart? Are you using it? Is that your weapon? Is it the sword of the Spirit? Are you girded with the sword of the Spirit? And are you using it to fight your spiritual battles? Use the Bible. The Bible. He said resist. Steadfast. That means strongly. Look it up. Steadfast. Strongly. Continuously. In the faith. In the faith. You can't do it in the flesh. You have to quote Scripture, and you have to do like Jude and say, get thee behind me. The Lord rebuke thee. You can't think you have what it takes. I can't think I have what it takes. None of us have what it takes. But we do have who it takes. And that's Jesus. Number one, resisting the faith through the Word. There's another way Jesus. When was he? He said, well, he's in the wilderness. Seemed like there's another time he had a battle with the old devil. Where was that? Help me out, church. The garden. The garden. Man, it was a battle. As far as I can tell, never quoted one scripture. But he prayed. He prayed so intensely that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And the Bible says, God sent angels as ministering spirits to minister to him. You think God would do that for you? I know he will. Right. How many times have I been praying and God sent the answer right there, brother? God, let me know. I'm with you, son. I tell you right now, you can get a lot done when you know Jesus is with you. Amen. So those two things, I hope you'll write them down. I hope you'll practice them. I hope you'll go home and look it up. Matthew 4, Jesus in the wilderness said, it is, listen, it is written, it is written, it is written, Matthew 4. And then you turn over toward Matthew 26, you can look in Luke 22, you can look in Mark 14, Jesus was in the garden, and he was praying, and he got hold of heaven, and he submitted himself, and he said, Father, not my will be done, but thy will be done. I'm telling you, God sent some help, amen. He'll do the same for you. He will. So I pray that this will be a warning to some. To all. To all. Let's close our Bibles and I want you to look up this way. I was already prepared. This doesn't happen to me much. I was already prepared. I've been preparing sermons on out of Psalm 23. And I was looking forward to moving into, from John 10, just a transition, smooth transition from the good shepherd and the sheep over here to the Lord is my shepherd. Instead of talking about how much we need the shepherd, how much the shepherd does for the sheep. I was looking forward to it. Still am. By the grace of God, I'm going to do it. God smote my heart during the preaching this past week and said, listen, I want you to listen to me on this. Forget those Psalm 23 right now. There needs to be some warnings first. Yes, every sheep does need a shepherd. But I want you to tell them why. Because we are in a warfare. And we have an enemy. And he is not going to take it easy on you. He's not. And so I pray that God would use this as a warning, and we're going to talk about it again next week. I want to just show you in the scripture what the devil does to people, brethren. He has no mercy. He throws little children in the fire, the waters to drown them. He tears them and rips them. He ruins lives. How many lives do you know that are ruined right now? They're shaken because they were told one time, and now they can't quit. They were told this will be good for you, and now they live with regret and remorse. It's real. It's real. Let's all stand to our feet if you would.